You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to a new episode of Land Grant Holy Land Stick to Sports Podcast. My name is Matt Tamanini, and as always, I am joined by the one and only Tia Johnston. Tia, this is the first time that there's been no football to really talk about. We had weeks where, because of COVID, there was no games, but there was still football to talk about. We are officially entrenched in the offseason now. How do you feel about that?
It's weird, but I also feel like, and I wrote this in our Buckeye Bits yesterday, like the news cycle is still going strong because of all of the NFL draft talk. So I feel like once that's died down, I'm going to be like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, but then by the time the draft stuff ends, which is like in May, it's time to start thinking about the fall again. So really, Ohio State football news never stops. It'll be a little quieter for the next few months while we're just like looking at people where they're going for the draft. But, you know, spring practice is coming up in a couple months. Like, it never really ends. So between now and September, when they presumably kick off on their next games, here on Stick to Sports, we will talk about the things around the periphery of Ohio State athletics. Maybe we'll actually talk about basketball. We haven't talked about basketball at all, Tia. Did you remember there's an Ohio State basketball team?
I mean, I'm starting to get into it now. I'm not a huge basketball fan, but I definitely like get the gist of what's happening just based off of our Slack channel.
Yeah, the orange ball goes in the net.
That's about dribble. All I know.
Okay, just all right. Kidding. Well, we'll get you there. But we also talk about the things that keep us distracted and entertained in between the games. But Tia, like you said, we have had a bit of news surrounding the NFL draft this week already, mainly because underclassmen had to declare their intentions of either staying in college or going to the NFL draft on Monday. But what's interesting, because of this weird extra year that everybody is getting from the NCAA, seniors who otherwise would have had their eligibility expire following the national championship game do have the option to return for another year. Despite the fact that underclassmen had to make themselves eligible for the NFL draft on Monday, those players actually don't have to make a decision until March. Now, I would imagine, Tia, because they're... if they do go to the NFL, they're going to want to start their draft training and all that stuff, even though there's not going to be an NFL combine this year. And they want to let Ryan Day know whether or not they're coming back so they can move forward with recruiting coming up. You know, the National Signing Day is in just a couple of weeks for a few spots left. They want to know what their roster is going to look like. But we want to go through and talk real quick about some of the players who are staying and some of the players who were leaving. Some of the ones that are on their way out are no surprise. Justin Fields is gone. Wyatt Davis, who I think was a consensus All-American this year, he is headed to the NFL. Tommy Togiai is also headed to the NFL. Then a couple redshirt juniors who I thought could go either way. Josh Myers, just because he's an offensive lineman and not exactly sure where he falls. But then Sean Wade is gone. So, Tia, about those guys that left early, Fields, Myers, Davis, Wade, and Togiai, what are your overall thoughts about them leaving Ohio State, what their legacies are, and what their chances are moving forward into the NFL process?
I'm really not surprised by who all is leaving. I think I held out a little bit too much hope on Justin Fields just because I wanted to and it made me feel better.
Oh yeah, that never had a shot.
I know, but there was like a rumor staying. And I was like, ooh, I'm gonna hold on to this rumor just for my mental state. But no, all of those guys, I think, well, okay, all but one, I think it's smart for them to leave. But I
wonder who the other one was.
I'm still just like, Sean Wade, I don't know why he's leaving. It's not a good time for you to leave, especially when you're granted this extra year. It's like a gift to you. You didn't have a great season. Just come back, like swallow your pride. I know you did all that like ESPN shenanigans. Just swallow your pride, put your head down, and have a great season next year. And I feel like you would go so much higher than what you're probably going to go. That's my only one where I like was like, I don't know about that.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I understand why he's leaving, because he obviously turned down what would probably have been first round money last year to come back to Ohio State. That's a lot of money that he will never get back. Even if he'd had a great season and he went first round after this year, you lose a year of your career, essentially, because you don't get that money from last year. If he were to come back to Ohio State and then go, you know, move himself back up into the first round, he could go in the 2022 draft, but then he's losing 2 years of potential NFL money making. Now, granted, going as a fourth, I still think he's athletic enough and good enough that he can be a third round pick. Obviously, third round money is not nearly as good as first round money is, but you're getting paid, and like that starts your clock as to when you can become a free agent. So I've talked about this before, and I don't remember if it was here or somewhere else, but just like, you know, it starts the clock towards getting another contract, and you're making money. And, you know, I get it. Like, he might feel a little burned by the Ohio State secondary situation. Maybe he is not as big of a fan of Kerry Combs, just like a lot of fans aren't. So maybe that has something to do with it too. And he just didn't feel like he was used properly. But I mean, he came back to be an outside cornerback. He made himself into an NFL first round draft pick prospect by being a slot corner. There was always going to be a risk moving outside. I honestly am shocked that he struggled so much with this this year. But I mean, how much of that was scheme? How much of that was coaching? How much of that was not having a dominant pass rusher, despite the fact that they were very good at getting pressure? They didn't have a real sack leader. How much of that was the fact that the other corners weren't very good? I don't know. So I never begrudge anybody from going and getting their money. Could he have potentially made more as a first round draft pick if he went in the 2022 draft? Maybe, but he's missing out on that. Then his rookie contract would be longer. If he goes and turns into a great NFL player, his third round contract, I think, is like 3 years, as opposed to a first round contract is 4 years. So he's got a chance to cash in on a big free agent check earlier. I thought if he came back, it probably would have been smart for him, but like, I get it, I guess. I mean, like, I never want to tell people don't get your money, because you never know, especially in football, when that money could be taken away from
you. Especially when you see like Jordan Fuller, like I wasn't expecting him to have the rookie season he has. And then J.K. Dobbins was essentially named RB1 today. Didn't they cut Mark Ingram?
Oh, I didn't see that. Maybe. Yeah.
So, I mean, you see those success stories, and we obviously know Sean Wade is talented, but it kills him that the combine was canceled or is going virtual or whatever it is. Like, he could have really benefited with a combine workout, but go get paid.
Another guy who probably would have really benefited from a combine invitation is Tommy Togiai, who, when he came into Ohio State, they talked about the fact that he could probably bench press a Mack truck. And I forget who it was. Was it Taraja Mitchell tweeted yesterday after Tommy Togiai said he was going pro? Like, Taraja said that Tommy was going to break the NFL combine bench press record or whatever. I don't know if it's considered the combine or whatever. I believe it. Like, the dude is strong. I would have loved to have seen him back for another year. I have a feeling he probably got a really good grade, and that's why he's going. He was one of the highest rated defensive tackles in the country, according to Pro Football Focus. So I'm not surprised that he's leaving. I would have loved to have seen him back in the middle next year. But he's a guy who probably is going to be another one of those Ohio State guys who just ends up playing forever. Like Cam Hayward, like he's still like one of the best defensive players in the league. And you're just like, how long has he been in the league? Like, he's been in the league forever. I mean, I remember when we did our players of the decade last year going into 2020, Tia, and people were mad that you didn't have him on your list. He didn't play in the previous decade at Ohio State or something. Like, it was something like that, where like he just didn't play. He played like his last year was, I don't know, 2009 or 2010, however we broke down the decades. And it was like, he didn't play in the past whatever many seasons. And it's just like, he's been in the league forever, and he's still one of the best players. And I feel like Tommy Togiai very well could be like that in the NFL moving forward.
So I feel like we've heard from everybody.
Well, yes and no. By not hearing from guys, we essentially heard from guys.
True.
So we didn't hear anything from Nicholas Petit-Frere, Josh Proctor, Seven Banks. I think those guys are the three we didn't hear anything from, which essentially means they're back.
Yeah.
Those are underclassmen who, if they didn't say anything publicly, they didn't secretly submit their paperwork to the NFL and then just didn't tell anybody publicly. So NPF, Proctor, and Banks are all back, which is, honestly, I thought NPF and Proctor might go. NPF more than Proctor, but I think that's great for both the offensive line and the defensive secondary to have those three guys back. We did hear from Thayer Munford, who is also back. So two guys in him and NPF who could have left on the offensive line who are back, which is huge.
Yeah.
We also heard from defensive end Tyreek Smith, who is going to be, you know, Jonathan Cooper is leaving as well. So having one of the starting defensive ends back is great. And we heard about two pass catchers that I was a little surprised about, one more than the others. But first, we heard about Jeremy Ruckert. He is coming back, which I think is great. He obviously had a little bit of a run in the Sugar Bowl, but he is one of, if not the best blocking tight ends in the country, which is always sought after in the NFL. But then we heard Chris Olave is coming back, which, Tia, if that's not the best news we could have gotten on a Monday, I don't know what is. I called my dad afterwards. I said, did you see Chris Olave made his announcement? He's like, oh, yeah, he's going pro. I was like, no, he's coming back. He's like, no, he's not. I said, yes, he literally is coming back. He didn't believe me. So he's coming back. I mean, I think we talked about it in our Slack channel. Then some other people, I think Josh Perry actually said it on Twitter. The fact that Chris Olave and Jeremy Ruckert to a lesser extent, but especially Chris Olave is coming back, to me, that means that he really likes what he's seeing out of one or both of the freshman quarterbacks from this past year, Jack Miller or CJ Stroud. I don't think he would have come back on the potential of Kyle McCord, who's going to be a true freshman. I'm assuming he's coming to campus soon, within days or weeks or whatever. I don't know when they're reporting now. But so that just makes me feel like Chris Olave knows that if he's back next year, one of these guys who will be, I guess are they still freshmen next year? Because this year doesn't count. I don't know. But I feel like he's got to feel like Miller or Stroud is good enough for him to risk an extra year of college on. Don't you think?
Yeah, especially when ESPN's Todd McShay and Mel Kiper just said that Chris Olave, just within these last two games, increased his draft stock tremendously. So he's riding on all this momentum into the draft, and every single NFL team is watching you in the national championship. And the fact that you're still just going to return to college after that, like, even though you're pretty much guaranteed a draft pick, a pretty high draft pick, I totally agree with that. Says a lot about the quarterbacks, which is just...
It's encouraging.
Very comforting, because I literally keep forgetting that it's like, oh, wait, we don't know much about our starting quarterback next year.
They were supposed to get a bunch of time in mop-up duty this year, and that never happened for whatever reason. I don't know that either of them threw more than a pass or two. If that, did they even throw passes? I don't remember. But, you know...
I remember watching every game, like, get Justin Fields out of there.
I know. Yeah. So it looks like, as I'm looking at the stats, Justin Fields is the only person to throw a pass for Ohio State. I mean, Drew Chrisman didn't even get to like a fake punt or anything. There was nobody else threw a pass for Ohio State, which is what I thought. I mean, that's just insane that you can win. I mean, you can have like a margin of victory of essentially 15 points per game and you can't get a backup quarterback in to throw a pass. And like they got in CJ Stroud, had a 48 yard touchdown run, which was awesome. Jack Miller had a touchdown run, I think, in the season opener, but like they got in a little bit, but not enough. But that tells you a lot. But I think it also goes back, Tia, to something we talked about following the Sugar Bowl, that Chris Olave seems to be he seems to be a guy who's lives his life led by emotions. Like, we know how much the Fiesta Bowl of 2019 meant to him and his preparation for everything that happened in this 2020 season. And I would imagine that coming up short and kind of getting a little bit embarrassed, although the offense wasn't horrible against Alabama. I would imagine that that was a reason why he felt the need to come back. And I'm sure it's not the only reason. I'm sure he loves being in college. I'm sure he loves the quarterbacks. I'm sure he loves working with Ryan Day and Brian Hartline. But I just kind of feel like he's a guy where those types of things are incredibly motivating for him and are deeply personal. And I would guess that losing to Alabama like he did, like he wants to run it back one more time to try to fix that. He corrected everything that happened against Clemson in the Fiesta Bowl, against Clemson in the Sugar Bowl this year, where he was amazing and they embarrassed Clemson. I'm sure he wants to go out and either have a chance to get some revenge against the Crimson Tide or to have a chance to actually win the national title.
Yeah, I mean, I personally probably would have, you know, declared for the draft if I'm him, but like,
Show me the money!
I'm not going to complain about getting Chris Olave back. I saw a tweet and it was like, this is like signing a
six-star. Yeah, I saw it too. Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, look, I am somebody who feels like you need to listen to players. Like, players need to have control over their own decisions. If normally I think that means that they, if they want to set out a bowl game, that doesn't matter. That's fine. If they want to go early, that's fine. Normally I'm on the side of go get your money. This is like your job interview. College football is your job interview and your preparation and your training. Go get paid.
For sure.
But on the flip side of that, if a guy wants to come back, I have to honor that as well. And I feel selfish doing it because that means my favorite team gets him for another year. So I feel bad. Like, I feel like I'm doing it wrong by being glad that he's coming back. I feel like, hey, man, go get your money. But if that's not as important to him, and if it's more important for him to come back, good for him.
Absolutely.
So that is obviously a very good story, Tia. And that is the good news of the week for us. But we decided, since there's not a ton of other things going on in the Ohio State world right now, we would follow that up with some good news stories from outside of the world of Ohio State football. They can be anything. We did not share these with each other ahead of time. So Tia, what is your feel-good story of the week that you want to talk about?
So I feel like everybody has seen this already, but I just have to include it in this, okay, which is the Oklahoma State University basketball player story. Did you see this?
I did.
Okay, yeah. So Oklahoma State University basketball player Dee Mitchell has been working 40 hours a week at Walmart on top of his full-time class schedule and basketball practices to pay for his schooling because he was not on a scholarship or anything like that. And then his head coach decided to surprise him with a scholarship while he was working his shift at Walmart. So there's a video and I'll like link it in the article. But the head coach surprises him, walks in, and he has the whole team on Zoom on a laptop. And he tells Mitchell that he's giving him a scholarship due to the fact that he works his butt off. He never complains and he stays late and he exemplifies everything he wants in for his basketball team. And so you see Dee Mitchell like crying when he receives the news. And oh my gosh, I'm like tearing up talking about it. Like, I can't even imagine working a full-time job as a full-time student without playing sports, let alone you're also a basketball player. Like,
you've got three full-time jobs.
So yeah, that's my good news. Oh, it's you have to watch the video. I did not do the story justice.
No, it's great. That was on my list. I wasn't going to use that one because I feel like a lot of people saw it and I figured you might do it as well. But those kind of scholarship things always are really good. They always make me tear up. So that's very good. So my story is also one that is tear inducing, and it's it actually came from over the holidays. So I have friends who were adopted. I have friends who have adopted children. And so this story was very cool. It's this grown woman who was basically essentially raised by her neighbors across the street. They basically took care of her since she was a child. This woman is now grown up. She's married. I think she even has a kid of her own. But for Christmas, her surrogate parents gave her a box for Christmas. And she opened it and it was official adoption papers, because you can adopt anybody. You can adopt no matter how old they are. They don't have to be under 18 or 21 or whatever to be adopted. And they officially adopted her and officially made her part of their family. And it was, I was just crying and everything. It was so cool. I'll put the video in there too. So I love that. Like, I just love those kind of stories where you know, I've said before, like, I'm a sentimental cry. It's like the emotions that are so built up in those family relationships that even if they aren't technically family, they're family anyway. But to go from chosen family to official family is very cool. So I'll throw that link in there. But there's one more story to you. I don't know if this is feel good, but it is certainly a funny story. It makes me laugh. And as I told you before we started recording, this might be a little inappropriate, so you can edit or bleep or whatever you want. But you're familiar with this woman who runs a lifestyle blog named Gwyneth Paltrow, aren't you?
Yes, like the Goop or whatever.
Yes. Actress, okay. Academy Award-winning actress, Gwyneth Paltrow runs a website called Goop. One of the things they sell is, I'm going to use technical terms here, is a scented candle that smells like her...
What?
I'm not going to use technical terms because that smells like her nether regions.
What?
Or maybe it's not hers. Maybe it's just in general. This is a thing that this has been out. Like, this is official. These are news stories. Like, you can look it up. Like, this is not a joke. Smells like her area. And there's a story, according to The Sun, a woman named Jody Thompson had that candle in her living room when it exploded. This candle, the vaginal candle from Goop, exploded and burst into flames. Of course, horrible for Miss Thompson. Hilarious for everybody else. She said her quote was, I've never seen anything like it. The whole thing was ablaze and it was too hot to touch. There was an inferno in the room.
Okay, I have two questions. Yes. Why would you make that scent? One, two, why would you buy it? Why did this woman buy this candle? I don't care that it blew up. I want to know why you purchased it.
Yeah.
In the first place. Yeah.
Well, first off, the candle's $75. So that must be a great smelling candle. I think that's actually just like a marketing thing. Like, I don't think that's actually what it smells like, but that's how it is described. Like, I don't think they like sampled the actual scent and made it into a candle. I think it's just something that smells nice and that's what they called it. But still, it's just... What in the hell I like Gwyneth Paltrow as an actress. I like Gwyneth Paltrow as an actress, but Goop is ridiculous. She sold in like some sort of egg that you're supposed to put in that same region. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, what the hell is going on? So anyway, not a feel good story.
I just like typed it into Google and it's like all these headlines. It's like, Gwyneth Paltrow's exploded.
I am not making this up, people. This is legit a real story. It's just unbelievable. Gwyneth Paltrow, what have you done? Like,
this is like, oh, what's her name? Hilaria Baldwin. And then this news is like, what's keeping me going during these times?
Seriously.
You know?
Seriously. Like, I love me some Pepper Potts in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but like, this is just too much. All right, Tia. So like we said, there's not a ton of football or Ohio State content, especially since you don't know what the basketball is. So we wanted to do some things. We've been doing this podcast now for what, 3-4 months? Mm-hmm. And we've been working together for over,
2 years. Coming up 2 years.
Yeah, a year and a half. Split the difference. But we wanted to do some questions, like to get to know you questions. Like, even though technically I did your interview when you were first hired to Landgrant Holy Land, we want to do kind of like an interview questions, but like the normal interview questions, like what's your greatest strength or what's your greatest weakness, but some things to get to know each other well. So Tia, this was your idea. You've done this before on the Play Like a Girl podcast with Meredith. So I'm going to let you kind of lead this and we'll just see where it goes.
Okay. Neither of us know what we're going to ask each other. So we're getting caught off guard here.
Correct.
If you could be any character in fiction, who would you be? Like TV, movie, book, any character.
I don't know how to read, so I'm glad you clarified that it's not just... Okay, so this is going to be a weird answer because this character is not like somebody who's had a great life. A lot of crazy bad things have happened to him, but he's interesting and there's some stuff that goes on. So to say Kevin Garvey, who is one of the main characters in the TV show The Leftovers. He's played by Justin Theroux, former Mr. Jennifer Aniston. If you don't know what The Leftovers is about, at the beginning of the first episode, at the very beginning, like 3% of the world's population, 2% of the world's population disappears. They just literally out of nowhere disappear. Like they're driving cars, they disappear. He is a chief of police in a town in New York. I don't think anyone from his immediate family disappears, but his wife kind of goes crazy and joins a cult after it. And he's dealing with his crazy, literally like crazy dad, but he may or may not be the Messiah. So it's just so weird. It's such a weird show. And I've always liked this character. There's some, as the series goes on, it gets weirder and weirder. Like maybe he's a spy too. There's all some weird stuff going on. It's just such a cool show. And I like the idea of potentially being the chosen one. So I will go with a very complicated Kevin Garvey from The Leftovers, which is not a good answer, but it's the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, which is what we're asking for here.
Yeah. All right, real quick, what would your answer be?
Okay, Lorelai Gilmore. Oh,
she's
great. Her.
She's perfect, literally.
I love Lauren Graham, but I love her character the best.
Yeah. She's perfect. Rory's a pain in the ass, but
she is. Lorelai. I can't stand Rory.
Especially in the later seasons. Like, first few seasons, Rory is fine.
She's cute and young. And then once she starts being, like, a brat, it's, like, unwatchable.
Not a big fan of college Rory.
Glad we agree.
Anyway, okay. So, moving on. This is my first question to you, Tia. If you had 6 months with no obligations or financial constraints, what would you do with your time during those 6 months?
Okay, I would travel.
Where would you go?
I would go to Italy. That's like number one on my bucket list. Like I can't move on with my life until I've been to Italy.
Good. Any particular place or just all of it?
Like Sicily, Rome, and like the Amalfi Coast. That's where I want to go. But I don't think I would spend six months there. So I guess I would then switch it up and go to like Switzerland, the like castle cities up there with all the snow.
Okay.
I think I could do 6 months of that.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Like if I have any budget, right? So then I would go first class and stay in 5-star hotels.
Yeah. I mean, if you had,
that's hard. Like there are so many things I would do.
Yeah. I mean, if you had no financial constraints, maybe you could start a charity and give back, but that's fine. If you want to spend it all on traveling, that's no, I'm kidding. That's what the question's about. That's what the question's about. So. All right. Good. All right.
That was actually one of my questions for you, but I put some extra cause I knew that would happen.
Yeah. Well, mine would just be like, I would go, assuming this is when the world is back to normal, like I'd see as much theater as possible. I'd read as much as possible. But honestly, I would probably start some sort of foundation because why the hell not? All right. So what is your next question?
I'm piggybacking off of my last question. These are very tailored to you, by the way.
Oh,
so
okay,
if
great.
Hollywood made a movie about you, what celebrity would you like to see play the lead role as you?
I mean, The Rock, of course. No, I don't. So hard. See, here's the question. If Hollywood, would it be like a biopic? Would it be a movie musical? Like these are different, you know, acting ranges for people.
How would you want Hollywood to portray your life? Like musical form?
I wouldn't. My life is boring.
I feel like I would want to be in a musical.
My life is boring. There's nothing to sing about. It's so boring. But I would probably go with, give me a sensible, like Justin Bateman. Like, not the world's like greatest actor, not some heartthrob or anything, but like a normal funny guy who's a good actor. He does great work on Ozarks, but he's funny too. He's done a lot of comedies, but just like, he's like a normal guy. Like that's who I would go with, a good, sensible Justin Bateman.
That's a good one.
What about you? Other than the actress who plays Willow on General Hospital, who would you go with?
Like, I don't know if I should pick someone whose like personality I like, or if I should just go based on like who looks like me.
Whatever.
Okay, she doesn't look like me, but Emma Stone.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I love everything she's in, and I love her personality.
Yeah, I'm with that. Okay, so this is an important one that is not exactly the type of question that we've been doing so far, but I feel like this is important to our continued working relationship. Is a hot dog a sandwich? There's only one right answer, and if you get it wrong, I'm hanging up this call right away.
I don't think it's a sandwich.
That is the correct answer.
Okay, because a sandwich has to be, it has to be like the two flat pieces of bread.
Well, I mean, I can put a hot dog on pieces of bread. The difference is that I can say, go get a pack of hot dogs, and it's just the meat. They don't have the bun with it. So of course it's not a sandwich. You put the hot dog in the bun.
Okay, so it's like a trick question.
No, this is something that legitimately intelligent people argue over all the time, and they're dumb because the answer is so simple. Anybody who says a hot dog is a sandwich is stupid, and you've heard it here first. You can tweet me at Tia Johnson _.
At the very least, I would say it's more like a taco.
We're not going there, but... Okay. A hot dog is a hot dog. Okay, so that was beside the point. But my real question is, what do you see your life being like in 10 years?
I imagine I will have two kids in a house living in Columbus.
Okay.
I currently reside in Philadelphia. We're definitely going to move back to Columbus, Ohio. It's where all my family is.
There are no professional football teams in Columbus, though, just making sure. So you're saying...
10 years is quite the NFL career.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, 13 or 14 at that point, really. But I mean, he's a punter, so I mean,
yeah,
they have long track records. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I will have been to Italy. And I think that's all. Oh, I will have three dogs. I currently have two. I would have at least one more.
I was going to say, how many dogs? I'm surprised it's three, honestly. I thought it would be like five.
Cam is limiting me to, but I was like, okay, three big dogs and one little dog.
Well, especially if you've got a house with a yard, like with a fenced in yard.
Thank you.
Dude, go to town.
I mean, if I bring a dog home, what can he do? He won't turn it away. So yeah, that's where I'll be. What about you?
I would imagine I will be living in New York. I live in Orlando, Florida right now. I'll be living in New York. I will be producing. I currently edit and produce podcasts for a true crime network. I would imagine I will still be with them, hopefully, knock on wood. But I think by then I will have, I just get the feeling that we're eventually going to move into TV and documentaries. So I would imagine that I will be working, still dabbling in podcasts because that's our bread and butter, but you know, helping create new shows there. But I imagine we'll be working on documentaries and TV shows by then, or we sell it by then and I take the money that I get from the sale because I have a piece of it and retiring and living on the Amalfi Coast, wherever the hell that is.
Google it. You'll be all for it.
Okay, good. Fair enough. All right, let's do one more question a piece.
Okay, if you had to be shipwrecked on a deserted island, but all of your human needs were taken care of, like food and water, what two items would you want to have with you?
Well, first off, I feel like we looked at the exact same websites and I went through all of the questions that had unique interview questions. I was like, oh, that's too cliche. Like, that's too obvious. I'm not going to do that one. And they're all the ones that you picked. So
I genuinely want to know these things.
So thank you for being basic. So I would say if all of my food and water and safety and shelter and stuff was taken care of, I would want a speedboat to get the hell off the island and a satellite phone to call people to tell people that I'm stuck on an island. Is that cheating? Is that cheating?
No, that's...
Okay.
Talk about a basic answer.
Okay, fine. What?
I'm just
I've seen
That's
Lost.
Smart.
I don't want to stay on the island.
You're right.
I want to stay on it. Jeez. If I was staying on the island, I would say I'm not a big fan of reading books on tablets because I like to have the book themselves, but I would want a completely stocked like Kindle or whatever to like read basically the entire library of the world. Because I can't imagine there's good cable service there. So I'd want to download, have them all downloaded on like a 70 terabyte Kindle or whatever. And then I guess I would want somebody else. I would go crazy if I was there by myself. You know, like I know this is probably isn't really the spirit of the question, but like, I don't know, a friend or a partner or somebody, I don't know. I would just go take a long walk into the ocean if I was there by myself for too long.
I mean, yeah, those are good.
All right, my last question is a bit weird. It's a little personal. So again, if you don't like this question, you can tell me to shove off. But this comes from a tweet from Kristen Lopez, who is the TV editor at the website IndieWire, which is like a entertainment website. This comes from, actually, like 3.5 years ago. She tweeted, "Who are your foundational five," which is in quotes, "the first five celebs that you ever had a crush on?" So I want to know, Tia, who your foundational five, first five crushes were.
Oh, yeah. Your questions are so much better than mine. Okay. Zac Efron and Corbin Blue from High School Musical. My Nick God. Jonas. I'm just picturing like my middle school locker with all of the magazine pictures on the door. Fair. Those three, Chad Michael Murray, and hey, this is awful, but Chris Brown, like pre-Rihanna, you know? Yeah. Like, this was way back when he wasn't a horrible person, but those were my first five for sure.
Okay, I have one in here who is very suspect as well. So, really, I asked you this question to get to mine because I never get to talk about mine on any podcast because it's weird, but I'm glad I weaseled this in there. So, mine would be... she goes by a different name now, but Tiffany Amber Thiessen. She no longer uses the Amber. But of course, Tiffany Thiessen from Saved by the Bell, Kelly Kapowski. Saved by the Bell was a TV show that aired on Saturday mornings, Tia, if you're unfamiliar with what that is. Then it would be Sarah Michelle Gellar, who I first saw on an afternoon like kids soap opera kind of thing called Swan's Crossing. She quickly went from that to All My Children, which I of course also watched, where she was Kendall Hart, Susan Lucci, Erica Kane's daughter. Then she went on to, so then she was Buffy and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And then she was in Cruel Intentions, and that just kind of wrapped it all up right there. Mm-hmm. Then there was Alicia Silverstone, more from the Aerosmith videos that she did. She did three videos with Aerosmith. I saw those before I saw Clueless and whatever other movies she did that I can't remember off the top of my head, but very much from the Aerosmith videos. And she did one with Liv Tyler, who also co-starred in The Leftovers, which goes back to my answer about the fictional person I'd want to be. Then Gwen Stefani from the I'm Just a Girl video, because yep. And finally, my one who's a little controversial here, her name is Tammy Lynn Sitch. She was the valet or manager for the WWF tag team, the Body Donnas. She went by Sunny at the time. She eventually did a lot of drugs and is now in prison, I believe. So that one's a little embarrassing. That, I mean, not as high profile as Chris Brown, but in the same vein. So
it says Tiffany she's Thiessen, out of prison, Sarah for the record.
Oh, is she out? Oh, is she good? That's great. I'm glad that she's out. I haven't checked up on her late. She's a mess. But yeah, so Tiffany Thiessen, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Alicia Silverstone, Gwen Stefani, and Sunny of the Bonnie Donnas. So that's my foundation.
I like it.
We are so different in ages that like your people weren't even born when I had these crushes, basically. It's not true, but it's close.
I know. Well, they were all in the little like teeny bop Disney yes, movies in the 2000s. Yeah. So
I have seen Corbin Blue on Broadway, though. Never interviewed him, but I have seen him on Broadway in Kiss Me, Kate. He's great. He's a phenomenal dancer. Like really, really good. All right, Tia, that brings us to our recommendation section for today. Do you want to go first? Do you have a good recommendation for today?
No, you go first.
So my recommendation is something that is very much on brand for me. It is the new Disney Plus Marvel Cinematic Universe TV show WandaVision. It is actually the first TV show ever from Marvel Studios, which is different than Marvel TV, which has done other stuff they've kind of been siphoned off and done away with. But this is the first Marvel Studios TV show. It follows the Scarlet Witch, Wanda Maximoff, who is played by Elizabeth Olsen, the younger sister of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, and the Vision, played by Paul Bettany. But what's so interesting about this is, spoiler alert for Infinity War, Paul Bettany's character Vision is killed in that movie. They take the Mind Stone out of him because he's a robot and he can no longer be sentient. But what's interesting is this show, we don't really know what's going on. The first two episodes have already been released as we're recording this. The third episode will be released on Friday of this week. But from what we understand, the first six episodes of the 9 episodes that are released in this season, and we don't know if there's going to be a second season, but they are all paying homage to sitcoms of various decades. The first episode was like an I Love Lucy Dick Van Dyke tribute. The next one was a Bewitched. And then we're also going to see references to like the Brady Bunch and Family Ties and The Office and Modern Family and stuff like that as they're going through these eras. But there's also something very sinister going on. We don't know exactly what it is, but we know that something's not right. Cool. And they've got some great like supporting people. What's interesting is Deborah Jo Rupp, who was the mom on That 70s Show. She is in it as well as Vision's boss's wife. We also have Katherine Hahn, who is perfect in everything. She plays the next door neighbor Agnes. And then there's folks like Kat Dennings and Randall Park, who have both been in other Marvel stuff. They're reprising their roles in that. Emma Caulfield from the aforementioned Buffy the Vampire Slayer is in it. It's really, really good. I've only seen the first two because that's all that's been out, but it's 7 episodes. Very, very much looking forward to the rest of WandaVision on Disney Plus.
See, I need to get Disney Plus. And
you just need to get all the streaming stuff. Like I just suck it up and I get all the streaming stuff, because when people talk about stuff like that, that's why I got Apple TV Plus, was just because everyone talked about how great Ted Lasso was. I figured I had to get it.
Okay. Mine came to me like immediately after I told you to go first. And that is the Tiger Woods documentary that just came out on HBO, kind of similar to the Michael Jordan one, except Tiger Woods like did not agree to be in
did
it
not
or talk.
Produce it himself. Yeah.
Because he is a very private person, but it is super, super intriguing. Like I had no idea about Tiger Woods' past. Like I know it probably all came out with his scandal, but I wasn't really paying attention when that happened. I don't know how old I was, but just like hearing about how he was raised and his like home life as a kid, it just kind of shows you why Tiger Woods is the way Tiger Woods is. So highly recommend. And it's only 2 parts, but part 2 came out like last night, I think. So
it's it's a 2-part documentary. It's just called Tiger. It's on HBO. You can watch it on HBO Max. Which is another streaming service you need to get. That's interesting. I didn't watch The Last Dance. I'm not a Michael Jordan fan. I think he's a toolbox. But these things are always interesting because we tend to put celebrities and athletes on such pedestals because of the things that they can do and the talents that they have and the work ethic that they have. They generally aren't very good people. And this is very true with Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan to a lesser degree, obviously, but still not a Michael Jordan fan. LeBron's the GOAT. Anyway, that is all that we have for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Land Grant Holy Land Stick to Sports Podcast. If you are finding this episode on our website, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your daily dose of podcasting goodness. And if you like this particular brand of weirdness, head over to Apple or iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, and leave us a 5-star rating. As always, you can follow Land Grant Holy Land on Twitter at LandGrant33, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BWWMatt. Tia, how many social media handles do you have now?
Still 3. Actually, 4, but I always name 3.
Thank you.
I am at Tia Johnston _. My dogs are at Buddy and Bella _. My antique thrift shop store on Instagram is at Philly Thrifts, while I am still in Philly.
Exactly. I told you that last week. It was going to be problematic when you move eventually.
At Columbus Thrifts. Hopefully that's available soon.
Good luck. Maybe we want to lock that down now.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you to the -6 of you that are still listening. We will talk to you soon. And as always, go Bucks.